All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Come on! This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It is an F-Yeah Friday. It is The Usual Suspects. Barry and I are here at Prime Social Club on Westheimer between Hillcroft and Gessner. It is a fantastic location. If you are a gambler and a poker player, this is the place to be. Nick back at the station, turning the ones and twos and making sure we stay on the air. And as an F-Yeah Friday goes, Barry has his comedian of the week all picked out and ready to go. But before we get to all that, fellas, what is up? What is going on? Nick, I saw you. I missed you. I'm sorry. I pulled in as you were pulling out.
I waited as long as I could, Joel, but I had to go back to studio.
Yeah, where were you? I was here all on time.
For the first time in months. You know what? I was on the phone in the parking lot. Sorry.
You're like my – you're such a work wife. Like, it's never good enough for you. I get here early, and that's just not good enough for you.
You know, start making it worth my while, and okay, and I'll do it.
Well, I had to go back to the man centers today, boys.
Again?
Yeah. So remember I told you when I went – when did I go? Monday, Tuesday?
Sometime this week.
Yeah, and I had to do a follow-up, and I thought they said that I had to go back in for an MRI.
You told us that.
Yeah. So it's not – it wasn't an MRI. It was an ultrasound on the boys.
Did they have three interns observing this procedure,
no,
too?
No, this time it was just one awkward man with glasses, and it was an ultrasound on my testicles. And so I walk in, and he's like, okay.
Did they use the cold gel?
Yeah, let me tell
you
the story. Let me tell the story,
Joel. I will.
Yeah. So I walk in, he's like, all right, sit up, you know, drop your pants and sit on that chair. And I was like, okay. So then he takes this big, like, they would put over the belly, right? The big paper towel thing.
Right.
And then he pokes a little hole in it. I was like, well, that's not a good sign. And then he puts it over my junk. And then he says, and then he just takes the gel and he squirts it all over. And then he just starts doing the ultrasound. He goes, put your legs together. And so I put my like where you're just like you're standing straight and your legs are touching,
so
like
you're
your
standing.
Thighs and your knees. No, I'm sitting, but I had to put my legs together and then you put them straight. I think it's so that your testicles sit on top of your thighs, basically. This is medical procedures here, people. Don't be silly.
Teabag on a fishing reel?
Grow up.
You can let them sit on your thighs?
Yeah, grow up. So he's doing this, the little ultrasound thing, and it's really quiet. And the screen is right in front of you, and I'm looking at my testicles on the ultrasound. And he's very serious, and it's very quiet. And so it gets. I wait for this dead silence, and then I go, can I hear its heartbeat? And I thought that was so funny. And I start laughing. And he goes, what? And I was like, really? I was like, is it a boy? And he goes, oh, I get it. And then that was it. I was like, dude, these are great. This is great material. What are you doing? He didn't even acknowledge the fact that was hilarious. I'm sure he's probably heard that before. Who knows? But so I'm looking at him on the screen. I can see them there. And thank you. I appreciate that. What's your name?
Q. Like
Q? Thank you, Q. I appreciate it. So I'm looking at them on the screen, and then he starts measuring them. And I don't know what a good size is, so I have no point of reference. Because on the screen, they'll start on the left side of the right one, and then drag a little arrow to the right side, and then it tells you.
So it is like measuring an embryo.
Yeah, it's like this is 6 centimeters wide and then like 7 centimeters tall or whatever. I don't know how big they're supposed to be, so I have no idea. Like what a point, like do I have small testicles or are these normal size?
I mean this now. If your legs were together and they want you to put your grapes up on your thighs, what is the extension cord that you got hanging onto your teabag? That's like those bad commercials where they say if you sit down in a chair too fast, you could crush your nuts. I mean,
no,
you're getting too old.
Thing.
I mean, what's going on?
You can't do that. So he does the thing, and then he goes, all right, they'll upload the results to your web portal or whatever.
Let's go into Barry is funny.
What I thought about doing, though, I really thought about, I think I'm going to, I hope that they actually post the pictures, because I'm going to take them and put them online and be like, guess what, guys, and see if anyone, because they'll just see an ultrasound
and they'll think,
and immediately think Nora and I are having a baby. And I can't wait for my mom to be like, oh, my God, I'm so excited. Like, Mom, that's my testicles. Why are you getting,
that's awesome.
Why are you getting so excited about that? So that was my morning. That's why I was here. And then I had blood drawn.
I can't believe that they literally went to do all of that. I get the blood drawn part, but they literally went with the cold gel and the whole
work. Yeah, it was just like looking at little millions of little babies.
What do you do for a living? When you ask the guy, what do you do for a living?
I do ball ultrasounds.
Yeah, I was like, I do careful examination of the...
And it's not the, you know, the one they use for the pregnant women is a lot larger. It's like holding a cell phone almost. And this one was very tiny. It's not as obviously because, you know, the babies are small.
Sure. Right.
That was my morning. Here I was all ready for an MRI. I was like, all right, I'm going to sit there for 30 minutes in silence and not move, which still ended up being the same thing. It just wasn't in a large tube with a lot of noise going on.
You're not claustrophobic, right?
No, not at all.
I'm not either. I've been through enough MRIs, too. And the people that freak out over that stuff is just ridiculous. They have to, like, put stickers on the inside of the MRI machine so that they stay focused. And I was just like, man, it's not that bad, people.
I've fallen asleep at getting an MRI.
I have, too.
But I also fell asleep getting a root canal.
Oh, I didn't do that.
Two of them.
Thank God I didn't need one.
Two root canals, and I fell asleep in both of them.
Really?
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know.
Were you drugged up?
No, I mean, they just local, you know.
And
just,
you still fell asleep while they were drilling on your teeth?
I've never really had a problem going to the dentist. It doesn't, like, the only, I mean, obviously a shot in the roof of your mouth isn't the best thing in the world.
Right.
And it kind of does suck. But overall, I've never really had a problem going to the dentist. They don't scare me. It's not. My grandfather was a dentist, and he was not the kindest, gentlest dentist.
Okay. He used the pliers?
Oh, yeah. He would just walk up to you and be like, that tooth looks little, and just yank it out. You're like, yo, man.
I'm glad I've never had a cavity, because I don't.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I had yuck mouth not too long ago. I had to go in and get a lot of work done. I had an entire engine overhaul in there.
Really?
Yeah. I wasn't flossing like I should have. You got to floss, kids.
Now I
floss twice a day.
My mom had every, like, problem with her bridges and all kinds of
really?
Stuff. And I'm like, yeah, this is.
Yeah, see,
I got my dad's teeth. I never had a cavity, which was lucky.
My mom's never had a cavity, but I drink a lot of soda, so that was kind of the tipping point for me. But now, I mean, I had braces, and then I had, you know, I was like, you know what? If I spend all that money getting my teeth straightened, I need to take care of them. So get them all cleaned up now. I got nice, healthy teeth, and apparently we'll see how the boys are.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll find out next week. That's some serious work done.
I will say this. It freaked me out, and I don't know because I've never sat through an ultrasound. I've never been in the room when they're checking on a baby. Fortunately, I don't have any kids that I know of, so I've never had to go through that. But there, when they're doing it, there was a big black spot in the middle of my testicle.
Oh my God.
And I was just like, oh my God, is that cancer? Is that, what is that? And he's not saying anything. I was like, is that spot bad? He goes, no. I'm like, what does that mean? You didn't say anything. You didn't say yes. You didn't say no. You just went, what the hell is that? So I have no idea. So now I don't know if that black spot was just
like. Go back to this for a second. So they cut a hole in the smock, the paper smock.
No, it's literally, you know when you go to the dentist and they take the little alligator clips?
Yeah.
And they put that piece of
For radiation or whatever.
No. Oh. It's a piece of paper. It's just the drool paper.
Oh.
And they put like the, remember, you know the chain that the old ladies have?
She had a dick bib.
I don't know if you can say that. I think you could call me a dick, but I don't think you.
But you had a Richard bib.
Yeah. So you know the chains that the old ladies use on their glasses?
Yeah.
That's kind of what you get at the dentist, right? They have, and it's got the little roach clips, the alligator clips,
right,
to the paper. So it was one of those, but it was a lot larger. It was like almost.
So he's going under that hood?
So he takes that. It's probably 4 foot by 5 foot, maybe. Nah, maybe 3 foot by 2 foot.
I'm thinking instead of the glory hole, it's the sorry hole. He's got your little thingy stuck in there so he can just get to the grate.
It's 3 foot by 2 foot, and it's paper. And then he lays it on top of me, and then he pulls it up, and he just rips a hole off, and then he sets it back down. And I'm like, why do we even need that? Like, I mean, the boys are out. Like, you're not hiding anything. I don't know why. Is that just to keep the gel from getting everywhere? Because it wasn't. It was all up my stomach. I was like, well. Now I know what a girl feels like.
Lay out in the sun for a little while, get some tan while you're at it.
Now I know what it's like to be a girl on prom night. This is not good. Yeah, it was not.
It's moisturizer for your abdomen.
I was just like, and then he goes, well, you could clean up. And I was like, yep, this feels a lot like, turnabout is fair play right now. Because he goes, I'm done, clean up. And I was like, wow, I feel like I've really been used right now.
Did he call you a bitch? Did he ever use bitch in any of it?
Not honey, nothing.
No honey, no bitch, nothing.
He goes, let me know when you're dressed, and left the room. And I was like, I feel like a hoe right now.
Wow.
I really feel like a hoe.
Spot on hoe talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And it's true. Like he goes, you can use the paper thing. He goes, you can use that to clean up with. And so I'm just sitting there by myself with my pants around my ankles in this room laid back with just wiping my belly and my penis and my balls off. I'm just like,
that's nice.
This is not good.
Jeez.
I feel so used right now.
I guess so.
And in my mind, all I'm thinking is, do I have cancer? Like, why? What was the big black spot? What was that? I have no idea.
It was a.
I'm hoping it's just where the camera made contact or something. Who knows?
It was the ET, the extra testicle.
No,
it's coming.
There's no ET.
It was the ET.
There's no ET.
All right. Well, we're ready to get it going here on the show. So if you want to join in on Ball Talk, you can join in on that. Otherwise, you can call the show and participate like you normally do. That's why we call it the Usual Suspects on an FEF Friday. Obviously, anything goes after that first segment. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, call and or text that number. Or you can reach us on Twitter where it's at the producer Nick, at Barry is funny, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Looking forward to it, carrying you through till 4. The Blitz will take you home till 7. It is a great Friday in Houston right here on ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
So I ate lunch today. I went to a big meeting, showbiz meeting. And the waitress comes over and I'm sitting at this table and she goes, could I interest you today in a Kobe burger? And I go, look, if I want a burger named after an accused rapist, I want a Ben Roethlisberger, okay?
It's pretty good. Tyshawn Shannon, he's our comedian of the day on an FEF Friday. F stands for funny, amongst other things, as you know. So therefore, with that being said, Barry, give us a little background on Tyshawn.
Yeah, we've talked about Tyshawn Shannon on the show before. The reason I wanted to feature him, a lot of people don't know, man, right here in our backyard, we have one of the most prolific writers for Saturday Night Live that's ever existed. And he came out of Houston, and his name is Tyshawn Shannon. He won an Emmy in 2002, nominated in 2001 and 2003. Lots of awards. There was a big thing, a big to-do about this joke he did with the Aristocrats on SNL, and Penn Jillette was talking about it, and it became a big deal.
Can you tell it?
No, the Aristocrats joke isn't one you tell on radio, that's for sure.
Okay.
But he was on Saturday Night Live for a very long time. In fact, I want to say it was like, man, it was over like 10 years, I believe. But he wrote for them.
Run.
Yeah, he wrote for them for a really long time. And some of your favorite sketches, not yours, but I'm using the in general you. But some of y'all's favorite sketches out there were written by Tyshawn Shannon. So right here in our own backyard.
You're saying the stuff I like is not funny?
No, I'm just saying it, not just you specifically. I was everybody you.
Okay.
But I actually got to work with
10 years at Saturday Night Live is impressive.
Yeah,
man.
I got to work with the dude. I was really excited about that. He's a cool dude, man. Very you would think somebody like that that's had a gig with Saturday Night Live would be kind of, you know, pretentious and uppity. Not at all, man. Real laid back, real chill. So
that's great.
Yeah.
And he's from here.
From Houston, yes, sir.
All right, so there's some information on a guy that you should be checking out, Tyshawn Shannon, as Barry told you. So we'll have his clips playing on the 15th throughout the show. So check that out as we continue to roll. You guys watch a game last night?
Which one?
Rockets. Yeah, there was so much
going on. Don't ask me if I watched the Aggie game.
Yeah, I was. I thought you were going to be tweeting on that.
Did you see my tweet?
I saw it.
I said I should have never got excited about the Aggies. The Aggies aggied once again.
Didn't they, though?
It's the story of my life. You know what? I'm glad I didn't go to Texas A&M because I would be even more upset to be an Aggie fan. I just grew up.
Can you imagine
up,
if you went to L.A., spent the money on everything and the tickets?
I grew up an Aggie fan, right? My dad was an Aggie fan, so that's why I'm an Aggie fan. We used to drive around listening to Aggie football and all that. So that's how I became an Aggie, because I wouldn't have chose to be an Aggie fan. That wasn't something I would have chose for sure. But it just so happens. So I'm all excited. I didn't watch any Aggie basketball all year. I finally get to see them in the tournament, and I'm watching it, and I'm thinking, this team has a chance. And somebody said it best on Twitter when I said that I should have never got excited. They said, why did you expect anything different? It was one game. They were underperforming all year. Why would this be any different? And I only watched the first half. I couldn't even watch the second half.
Yeah, because then you were tweeting about ugly game, and I'm like, well, you could have taken your pick. You could have taken the Aggies, you could the Rockets, you can do a lot of different things. But, yeah, I was flipping back and forth, and the only game that was really compelling was the Loyola game was great, and then the K-State-Kentucky game was great. So those were fun to watch. Well, but overall, there was a lot of crap on for basketball.
I'm watching the first half of the Aggie game, and I'm thinking to myself, call a timeout. What? The Aggies are just letting Michigan run wild. They're turning the ball over constantly,
Michigan making threes.
Yeah, they're and I'm like, why is he not calling a timeout? Why are they not using their timeouts to stop some of this momentum? And they never did. And it was like, I mean, Raheel said it best off air. It's like, oh yeah, they didn't get me for that game. That's why. It felt like it.
It did.
At one point, I'm just going, oh my God, stop the bleeding, please. Underwhelming performance. Yeah, I mean, all credit to Michigan. Mo Wagner, though, that guy, I don't like him at all. He can go to hell.
His facial expressions and everything aggravate people, but I said last year when
he was the German Grayson Allen. That's what he is. He's the German Grayson Allen.
Can't we just call him Mo Wagner, though?
Yeah.
When he's in the United States.
Well, it's
no. Instead of Mo Wagner?
No, you got to stick. I mean, no. But he should have went to Duke. That's a guy. He is a quintessential Duke player.
I liked him last year in the tournament.
Through the cracks and got to Michigan, I don't know, but I hate that guy.
I liked him last year in the tournament, and this year I can't stand him.
And I didn't. It's not because of, the way he played against the Aggies and made it. It was before. I said that last week when watching him. He's just like, God, that dude's annoying. Stop talking. Ugh,
especially
me
with
sick.
Your mouthpiece in. Yeah,
yeah. Just not a fan of that cat.
Well, we've got a couple of different games that we can talk about, as there were some good ones, and we can talk about the Aggies. But we do know that Ralph is on hold. He wants to talk Rockets. So whether we watched it or not, Ralph, and I did off and on. Yeah, what do you got for us?
Man, how y'all doing, man?
What's up, man?
How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm all right, man. I want to talk Rockets, man. We looked real bad last night. I don't know if it was because CP3 took a rest or whatever like that. Or it was just, the relapse of the Portland game, you know what I mean, on the road trip. Maybe we was tired, but we looked at horrible. We didn't look bad at Detroit because they had a lid on the basket, man. But y'all let me know what y'all think about that. Y'all have a good one, man.
Thanks, man. Have a good weekend. Look, first of all, Barry, I mean, I'm glad that they took my advice. When I left the Rockets, I told certain people over there, don't just follow and stay in tune with me because I know what I'm talking about. Follow this guy, Barry Laminack, because he's going to have tidbits throughout the year that you need to follow and take to heart, because if you do, it's going to help you. And when I saw Chris Paul sitting on the bench last night, I'm like, finally they listened to me, and they started following you enough to sit him down to make sure he didn't get hurt. Good for the playoffs, not so good for the game last night, because, Eric Gordon filled in admirably and put up good numbers, but overall, neither team could make a shot. It was just flat ugly.
I thought P.J. Tucker said it best, though. He said, this is a huge trap game. You're coming off the road. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're tired. You're at home. It's a team that's been underperforming that you know you should beat. A trap game. And he said, we hung in there. We did what we had to do. You're going to have those. And you know what? When you're a team that relies on shooting, and that's your bread and butter, sometimes your shot's not going to fall. Nobody's going to shoot it well. There's times when you might have one guy that shoots well, but nobody else does, so you lean on him. But there are also times when nobody's shot falls, and then you end up with a game that happened like last night.
Well, if you're Detroit and you're relying on Ish Smith, you're in trouble.
Oh, my
goodness. And then you look at the Rockets, and you're right. It's not only a trap game, but a lot of guys will tell you when you travel on the road and you realize your first home game back after a long road trip is like another road game because you're still adjusting. You're still trying to get your laundry. You're trying to unpack. You're trying to get settled back in, and you play another game right away. It's kind of still has that feel from a player's perspective, from a traveling perspective with the team. It all feels like it's all lumped together and it's another road game. Detroit caught them at the right time, but obviously the Rockets have more talent than the Pistons. They prevailed. But when I watched that final 3 minutes and I'm going, you know, they've already screwed around long enough to where they already could have lost this game. But they're up six, about 3 minutes to play. I'm like, they're just taking care of the ball. They're going to win the game. Lo and behold, Detroit goes on like a 9-0 run. And all of a sudden, I'm going, well, the last thing you want to do is lose this game at the end. Thankfully, they at least got it to overtime. The one thing that bothered me more than anything else, and I don't know if you caught this, and if it bothers you, the biggest problem I got is on the final play of regulation, everyone assumes Harden's going to get the ball, at least to start the play to trigger it. Of course he is. But last night, as he started to drive and go from the top of the key to the left side, the entire defense of the Pistons surrounded him, and he had Ariza and Gordon butt naked wide open on the right side, and he, whether it was ego and I got to take the last shot because if it goes in, I want to be the hero, but or he didn't see them for some reason, and the man has great court vision. But, man, I was like, just kick the ball, and either guy has got a wide-open look at a three to win.
I think he should have done that.
Yeah, and it's harder, I mean, when you're surrounded by guys to be able to
do that. I don't know if he didn't see them or what, but you, from our perspective and the viewer's perspective on TV, I was like,
well, he was coasting
for
the first four quarters, and I guess he felt obligated to do something in overtime. He literally had 11 points in the first four in regulation. 11 points.
Harden?
Yeah. He scored 10 in overtime.
Did you think he was fouled on that last play?
Probably not. I think he was asking for too much at the buzzer. Joel always talks about refs not making that call at the buzzer. Yeah, and then he went at the ref and got the technical foul. They kind of got lucked out with that goaltending call as well. But, yeah, I don't know. It almost felt like they were playing down to the team only because they knew it was the Pistons. He was clearly tired. I saw him limping in the locker room. I think he needs to sit down. But there's a stubborn James Harden that's talking right now. I don't know if Mike D'Antoni's willing to have that talk with him. But he plans on playing. I don't know if they're going to send him
out. Yeah, I was going to say, Nick, he already came out and said, I'm not sitting. I want to hoop. I want to play.
Man, at some point,
though, dumb decision.
Cooler, smarter, better heads have to prevail. James Harden should not and can't be allowed to make those decisions, to make coaching decisions. If I'm Mike D'Antoni, I go to him and say, I'm the coach of this team, and in the best interest of our team is for you to be rested for the playoffs. You're not playing tonight. Period. End of story. I don't want to hear it. Go pout at the end of the bench.
There's no question.
Especially after the sprained ankle. I was like, get him out of the game. At this point, why even have him in there? Get him out. Put some ice on it. Let him rest. This is a perfect time to do
that. You can hold Chris Paul out of a game that, you know, he desperately wants to play just to get at Blake Griffin. Yep. You can hold James Harden out of games, plural.
James Harden shouldn't play the next game.
No way.
He's so tired. 0-for-8 from three-point line. Yep. 0-for-8.
Everybody strives for what they already have. They have they're going to win one more game. They're going to have the best regular season record in the history of the team. They're going to be the number one seed in the West. They're going to be the number one overall seed in the NBA. You don't have anything else to prove to anyone, and you can't get to 70. So you might as well just say, hey, look, we may lose one or two down the stretch that otherwise we could say we probably could have won, but you got everything wrapped up.
Yep.
Be smart. I just saw it today with a couple of different teams with playoff aspirations, including Golden State. Other teams are saying it too. Our only goal, Chris Paul said it today or yesterday after practice, Nick, or maybe today. He said, look, our only aspiration is to be healthy for the playoffs, so I got to be smart. That's why he and Mbamute are not going to play Saturday night, may not play till Tuesday. Fine.
Yep, I'm good with
that. James, put some street clothes on. Join them.
That was the whole point of what I wrote on Sports Map.
That's what I said.
It's time. It is time to rest this team. You know what else it's time for? It's time to get fast, quick, easy cash for your home. If you want to sell your house and you need to do it quickly and you need cash for your home, then you need to call Gulf State Home Buyers at 281-717-6100. And they don't care the reason that you're selling the home. It doesn't matter if you've got back taxes, delinquent HOA dues, you're going through a divorce and the judge has said, you know what, you guys have to sell your home and split the money. Bankruptcy, foreclosure, maybe you're unemployed and can't afford to pay for this home anymore. Whatever the reason that you need to sell your home and get cash in your pocket, that's the perfect reason to call Gulf State Home Buyers. 281-717-6100 is the number. They make you a cash offer. They handle all the paperwork from the beginning of the process all the way through closing. All you do is you make that call, then you sit back and relax and let their team of professionals show you a stress-free way to sell your home. They have attorneys, title companies, an entire in-house staff ready to help you. But you got to call them first before they can help you. 281-717-6100 is the number. Call them. Get an understanding of your situation. It doesn't matter. Title issues or you just need cash. Call Gulf State Home Buyers right now. 281-717-6100 or hit them up on their website, GulfStateHomeBuyers.com.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back, and hopefully so are you. It is an FEF Friday on The Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5. We're kicking it at Prime Social Club, as you heard the man with the good pipes tell you, as we are here on Westheimer between Hillcroft and Gessner. Fred and AJ are here. There is a somewhat of a knockout tournament where if you knock them out, you get extra cashish as they continue to play poker, which is fun in games. We started the show off with Barry's MRI of the boys. And Jim wants to get in here on a story, so let's get Jim in here real quick. Jim, what's up?
Hey guys, how's it going?
What up,
so,
Jim?
You know, I've been there. Probably about 4 years ago, when the same thing, a doctor said I need to go get an MRI done on the onion bag. So, you know, when you go get an MRI or X-ray or anything, it's kind of cold in the room. So, I get in there, and the girl brings me the robe, and she's a good-looking, short, black girl, and I'm like, man, oh man. So I get down, you know, get on the bed, and she puts that little towel over the thing and puts that cold gel on the boys, starts rubbing, doing a little bit, and all of a sudden she goes, it's kind of cold in here, isn't it? And I go, yeah, Arctic. Kind of embarrassed. Have a good day. Thanks.
That is great.
Don't leave me to tell you.
That is great. You know, wow. I was thinking, oh gosh, not a black chick. She's used to much larger than this.
Oh, you went there.
Yeah, this is not good. That's hilarious. It's kind of cold in here.
The onion
bag.
Yeah,
thanks for noticing. I've been cold my whole life.
Onion.
I've been cold and swimming my entire life. All right, I just got out of the pool my whole life. Yeah,
I thought the onion bag was a very funny term. I've never
I
heard before.
I figured you would like that. Of all folks, you would
humorous.
Be,
I liked like, it. Nothing wrong
you
with that.
Love what is it? What's the euphemisms for testicles and penis? That is right up your alley, right?
Okay.
No,
I mean we have fun with it.
We.
No, you don't. You have. I mean, I you allow just, me to have. Fun
I just.
With it. How about
I kind of just. I would just rather use the slang terms. But you are very creative at coming up with – although Mo just sent me a picture of some cherries. It was like, hey, something about wishing me luck or something. I don't know.
Mo from –
the Houston Family Nutrition, yeah.
Well, of course he's going to keep it healthy and send you some cherries.
Yeah, of course, right?
Yeah.
Here's some fruit. But you're supposed to send avocado. That's the Spanish word for testicles. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, I think that's where the term avocado – I don't know if it's Spanish or Peruvian or whatever, but there's the term avocado basically means testicles because that's what they look like when they're on the tree.
Okay, so what about the emojis, though, yesterday? Cherries, yeah. Weren't cherries the...
Oh, what were cherries? That was
cherries were the boobs?
No, cherries were... Yeah, they were breasts.
There
yeah.
you go. So,
the peach was the butt.
So
that's
what,
right.
What were the grapes?
There was no grapes on that.
Nuts.
Saying.
Balls, what do we got?
No. There's, I guess you could send two ball, like beach ball emojis.
I guess.
Maybe. I don't know.
Tennis balls?
I don't know. That is funny, though. That's a good story. It's kind of cold in here, right? You're like, thanks for noticing.
Yeah, really.
You
appreciate
didn't have to,
that.
You didn't have to bring it up. I know I'm not hashtag blessed, okay?
When he's telling the story and he's going with the gel and everything, I'm thinking, oh, he's going to say, well, looking at her, I actually.
I thought he was going to give an erection, yeah. And nope, not at all. Quite
thought
the opposite.
Was, yeah, I thought he was going to say, she was going to say, oh, sir, you're going to have to put that away. But instead, it went the other direction.
Sir, do I need to give you a minute? This is not appropriate. So when we got here today, Skip to Malou. Is playing
yeah,
and
Rafe.
The turning. Yeah, Rafer Alston. And one of the guys that's doing, like, the announcements, he comes up and he goes, hey, I was over there talking to our promotions team, and he comes up and he goes, I have a question for you guys. What the hell is Skip to Maduda mean? We were like, what?
What?
And he goes, I don't understand why they're calling this guy Skip to Maduda. Is that what does that mean? Is that a slang or something? We were like, what are you talking about? I don't know, Skip to Maduda. I was like, do you mean Skip to Malou? He's like, yeah, whatever. What does that mean? I was like, that's his nickname, man. He was an and one.
And one guy, yeah.
He was like, oh, it's a nickname? I didn't know that. That's a weird nickname, Skip to Maduda. I was like, no, it's...
No, sir. It's on his driver's license. Yeah.
Like that's. Oh, it was that guy right there talking. Yeah. He doesn't look like he would be good with street ball nicknames.
He looks like a poor man's Jim Adler.
He'd be like, white chocolate. Yeah, I like it, but it makes me break out. No, that's not what that is, sir. He does look like a poor man's Jim Adler.
Yeah, that's not the Texas hammer. That's
I'm the Texas ball peen hammer.
That's the Texas monkey wrench. He's going to give you a Skip to Maduda.
But I was over there talking to Drew Promotions,
Baby Dwight Howard.
And he told me one of the funniest stories and kind of made me wish I was a black comic because I would love to use that joke on stage, which, I mean, it's funny, but it's also kind of sad. But he was talking about he had ordered an Uber, and I didn't know Drew was an Uber driver, actually. But he said he ordered an Uber, and he was walking. So he's waiting on the Uber. The Uber comes, and as he's walking up to get in, the guy locks the doors, like panics. He was like, bro, you're my Uber driver. He's like, oh, my bad. And he's like, the picture's on the. That's sad.
Unbelievably sad.
But I thought,
sad, man,
if you were a comedian, Drew, that would certainly be some good material for the stage. But, yeah, stop being racist, Uber drivers. That's not nice.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right, so we started talking a little basketball. Yeah. We can talk about the Aggs. We can talk about the Rockets.
We don't need to talk about the Aggs.
News of the day, Kyrie Irving set for a minimally invasive, sounds like what you had today, minimally invasive. Holy cow. Good thing it's Friday.
Hey,
procedure on his knee.
How much time do we have left in this segment for Joel to say this? Do we have enough time for him to get
minimally
it?
Minimally invasive.
I got you.
Got you.
I'm holding you down, Joel.
So the Celtics, I wouldn't expect him back till the playoffs.
No. I heard I was driving in. I don't know if it was Granato or somebody was talking about the fact that this may be a lingering thing. This might not just be this year. This might be multi-year. This could be over the course of his career.
It's weird because evidently it's been nagging him for a while.
Yeah.
But that Danny Ainge comes out and makes statements to the point of saying – he really doesn't need a procedure this year, maybe next year. It's like, wait a minute. If something's bothering your best player, wouldn't you rather get it behind you, especially this offseason, and say, let's get this thing taken care of, get it done, instead of letting it linger around for a couple years where it could really be a problem?
A la the Astros and Yuli Gurriel's hook on his Hammett bone.
Right.
Getting it taken care of now, get that out of the way early in the season. Yeah, it's one of those things where if you know a guy's got an injury and he's a critical part of your team, if it's a guy, you know, eight deep in the rotation or whatever, that's one thing. But it's Kyrie Irving. You went out and you had to make moves to get this guy. He's the star of your team.
Give him as much credit as the team deserves. They've not only stayed afloat with him out, they've actually gained a little ground. They've solidified their position. That's all fun and games because that's the regular season. Come playoff time, if you don't have Kyrie Irving, you don't have a shot.
Nope.
So you better take care of him and make sure that he's ready to go. And if he's not, then you got problems. And again, like I said, if you can do this, if he can fight through it for the rest of this season, get it done in the off season.
Yeah.
You know, don't let it – don't Danny Ainge say, well, maybe in a year or two. No.
No.
Take that's just care asking
of
for
it now, yeah.
So that's absolutely crazy. But other than that, we are here at Prime Social Club. It's Westheimer, right past Hillcroft. It's right by Molina's. It is an upscale and very, very, very neat place if you want to play some poker. Get on in. It's very inexpensive to be a member. I think it's $10. There's a seat fee, but that's how it works. That's how you're able to play poker and not have to hide it in one of those secret rooms. And there's a lot going on. Fred and AJ are here. They've been playing. Rafer Alston is here. Lance Zierlein's here. Lots of guys are playing, and you can too. Stop by and see us. We'll be here till 4. The Blitz will be here until 7. And right now I'm going to tell you about my good friends at the Houston Rockets. I'm telling you what, man, we all know they won again last night. They're playing good basketball. And you know that with Chris Paul and James Harden, they're going to be around and fighting for a championship for the next couple years. They now have an offer they've never offered before that is right down your alley if you're a Rockets fan. I say that because you know that, look, they're a good team to watch, and come playoff time, playoff tickets are hard to come by. The other thing is tickets have a tendency to go up when you add a good player and the team gets better. This is the plan for you if you don't want to see those kind of things happen and you want to see the Rockets play basketball. For the first time ever, as I mentioned, the Rockets doing this now where you can get a VIP treatment. You get club seats. For the next 3 years, you are locked in for the same exact price. The prices cannot be raised on you. They can't try and charge you more money. only for club seats now, but all season tickets have now been released to be on sale for the next couple of years, especially for next season. But the big thing is you lock in on a on club seats, and you can get the same price for all three seasons. Three seasons, one price. No need to worry about any season ticket increases. And if you purchase now, you'll get priority for this year's playoffs as well. Everybody's going to want those playoff tickets, as I mentioned. Really going to be hard to come by. Availability is going to be extremely limited. But if you lock into this plan, you will also have priority to get playoff tickets for this season. It's a great deal. All you got to do is go to Rockets.com or call 713-627-DUNK. They'll get you with a ticket rep. They'll take care of the rest. Don't go anywhere else. Go to Rockets.com or 713-627-DUNK.
ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Another portion of the show. It is Barry, Nick, and Joel. Barry and I are here at Prime Social Club right here on Westheimer between Hillcroft and Gessner. A lot going on today. A busy afternoon as most guys sneak out of work and want to play some poker. This is the place to go. Fantastic VIP feel to it for everybody that stops on in. Nick's back at the station. Guys, we're talking a little bit about some basketball. There's a big deal going on right now, and people are trying to make it a big deal. And some of it is, of course, centered around ESPN. But last night, in a tough game, Kansas State, with a big victory, beats Kentucky. And Kentucky doesn't shake hands. And the Kansas State team is butthurt, and they're talking about it. Calipari, in the post-game press conference, says, "Nah, it wasn't intentional. It was no big deal. You know, we saw them celebrating on the court. We didn't wait around. We just went to the locker room."
Yeah.
I'm going, okay, first of all, I can understand that, but this is part of being a player at Kentucky.
Right.
This is John Calipari. So you're going to be scrutinized a lot more.
Right.
But I think in a game of this magnitude, that's that big of a deal, you kind of wait around a little bit. You've seen throughout the tournament. I mean, there's been some heartbreakers and some buzzer beaters, including U of H, but you stick around, you do the right thing, you shake hands before you go to the locker room.
Yeah, what kind of, I mean, these are adults. Let's not act like they're kids.
Right.
But it's still, you look really petty.
Yeah.
If you're not doing that. If you're not out there, because if you win, you would expect them to come and shake hands. And I get it hurts, it stings and all that. But it's I don't know. To me, my barometer, my measuring stick is hockey. If hockey teams can't, as much as they will whoop each other's ass.
As much as they fight, yeah.
As much as they fight, like there's so much hate. If they can still shake hands at the end of a hockey game, then these kids playing basketball in the tournament can certainly do that. Especially if you're a 5 seed and you got beat by, what, a 9 seed? This wasn't 1-16.
No, and at the same time, look, like I said, the reputation of Calipari and Kentucky and the one and duns and the kind of that they feel a little bit anointed every year.
Yeah.
But
okay.
This just adds to it because of the fact that, you know, if it's a really kind of a under the radar program or something like that, you could probably get away with it a little easier. But this is going to get exposed. And I've said all along, John Calipari is a guy. He's a hell of a recruiter.
Yeah.
Great recruiter. But when he's in the Hall of Fame. That kind of is a question mark for me because he's had games and banners taken away from him at different locations because of the fact he's violated the rules as part of recruiting and otherwise. But I've always said he's not that great of an X's and O's coach. I think I literally think he got out-coached last night. But I look at that Kentucky roster and I'm like, that's not one of those with Anthony Davis or Boogie Cousins or some of the guys he's hit, Derrick Rose in the past or
yeah.
Guys like that. That's not one of those teams where I look at it and go, that's a Final Four team. I think that he got about as far as I had them going. And I thought that, you know, for what he had and the way that roster shaped up, it's not a bad run for them, but that's a bad look to end the season.
Yeah, it is. Again, it's one of those things where you don't have the talent that you're used to having. You were bitching about being seeded so low.
Right.
It worked out to where you were actually the highest seed left, even though you bitched about the tough road that you have and the way you got seeded. At the end of the day, man, go shake their hand. Those
no
kids
question.
Play just as hard. it's a bad look for you, for your program, for your kids, for everybody. If you're on that team, and do you go out there by yourself? Because that's happened before, where nobody else wants to go, but one or two guys will go. Remember the Pittsburgh game? Was it the Pittsburgh game when their punter had to come out and line up for the extra point? In the playoffs, was it the Pittsburgh? I mean, it
was the New Orleans game, the last play of the game. Against the Vikings.
I mean, I think for me, I would probably still go out there and be like, hey, if the rest of the team doesn't do it, that's on them. You got to go out there and shake their hand.
I agree,
totally.
It's a bad look. And here's the thing: even if you're Calipari, you might as well just stay out there yourself and congratulate the guys, because you don't have to shower and you don't have to worry about it. You got nowhere to be,
yeah.
So you might as well do that, yeah. And it helps.
You
ain't
got
right?
No, you don't have film to go watch.
And then you look at the draw, and we said this yesterday. He should have, if you look at it, as much as he bitched about the seeding, that should have been a cakewalk for him.
Yep.
If he was really the kind of seed that he thought that he should have been, or his team should have deservedly been. Well, then you should have been able to walk through a 9 and an 11, and you should be sitting in the Final Four in a week instead of going home.
Especially if you're a Hall of Fame coach, right?
Yeah.
Make it happen. We got Mark on the line. Mark wants to talk about the weight loss challenge.
What's up, Mark?
Nick, is Mark still there?
Yeah, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, Mark?
Hey, how y'all fellas doing today?
Very good,
good
very
man,
good.
How you doing?
How are you?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to call and officially thank you guys, if nobody else has, for this weight loss competition and always boosting everybody up and keeping things on a positive note for everybody.
Man, appreciate it. Are you losing a lot of weight? How have you done so far?
Well, let's just say my wife thought she was cheating because she didn't recognize the man laying in her bed the other day, so I got a beat
down.
That's
good stuff.
That is great, man. So you got you at least an inch back, huh? You know what they say, 30 pounds gains you an inch.
It was crazy. So I haven't ever called the show. I've listened to you guys from day one, and I just want to give you guys some positive feedback. Keep doing what y'all doing. Thank Mo and thank everybody that's involved with this.
From Mark, you keep doing what you're doing, too, because we appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Keep it up. I hope you win. I hope everybody wins. We can't have that, but good luck, man.
Hey,
and
we're always winning if we just interact in a little bit. You know, we keep us all winning at this game.
That's what I'm saying. You already won. You got good sex from the wife. You won.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's a W.
Oh, no. I didn't say she was there. I just said, you know, it was.
Mark, you're wild, man.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, you're in trouble, bud.
Have a good weekend, brother.
I just wanted to say, you all have a great one.
Thanks, bud. Yeah, that's funny, man. I'm glad. I really hope we hit our goal. Whether we do or don't, I'm not going to be disappointed because I know that a lot of people have lost weight. And, again, thank you to our sponsors for the Usual Suspects Weight Loss Challenge, C-Force Water, HealthyGourmet.com, and Houston Family Nutrition. We want to thank all of them for making that possible.
Question.
And if you've been in this challenge and you're losing weight or it inspires you, one, I want to encourage you to use those sponsors because they also made it possible for you guys to do that. And two, I want to congratulate everybody that has lost weight. I don't care how much.
No,
good for you for doing it.
We bill it all just like we do with Way Back Wednesday. We bill it all as a competition, but the biggest thing is we wanted the results because we wanted you to feel better about yourselves and your entire life and improve your lifestyle. That's what we've heard from callers to the Facebook page, to the people that tweet us and tell us about their weekly losses. It has been a success story because of you, because of your participation and your dedication.
And unlike Way Back Wednesdays, they all had a chance to win. You guys pretty much, I mean, you're fighting a losing battle with me on Way Back Wednesdays.
So anyway, right now I want to tell you that the show's going to go on until 4. We're going to turn it over to the Blitz at 7, but you can always be a part of the show, 713-780-3776. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. And I also want to tell you about the Texas Can Academies. I've been telling you about them for quite a while now. It's a great program because it's Houstonians helping out kids in H-Town that are in need. And they're trying to get a second chance at an education, get that high school degree, and a lot of times they have distractions. That could be a need for eyeglasses, or they're hungry so they can't focus, or they need money so that they can pay for their books, or they're just all the different things that could be a distraction if they don't have them are supplied to them because of donations from people like you. So here's how the process goes. Whether you have a vehicle laying around that's not working anymore, it could be a motorcycle, a truck, a car, a boat, an RV, a trailer, it doesn't matter. If you want to get rid of it, especially if you've had something with hurricane damage and you've already taken it in the shorts because either it wasn't insured or because it's not working and now you don't want to pay for a tow truck, this is where the program comes in. All you do is pick up the phone. You call 713-225-4226 or you log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Tell them where you live. Tell them what you got. They do the rest. They come to you. They do the paperwork. You get a tax deduction. You mention ESPN 97.5. You get a $50 gift card. And then everything takes shape, because they take your donation, they turn it into those resources I was telling you about, and these kids no longer have distractions. They have a focus, they have a full belly, and they have the ability to concentrate on their books and get their degree. It is a fantastic program. So if you can donate, we encourage you to please do so. 713-225-4226 or log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. As always, right off the car, not the kid.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.